Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, the program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. And happy Lent. This is our first full week of Lent, and we've entered into this penitential season, a season of really doing spiritual combat, a spiritual warfare against sin in our lives. And it's a way of a season of yielding to the grace of God, the work of God. And it's important for us to be able to have the right kind of perspective as we get into cooperating with the grace that the church brings to us in the name of the Lord and what the Lord wants to accomplish in each and every one of us. I think sometimes looking at Lent, first the thought that comes to mind is, oh man, it's just drudgery. It's difficult. It's a battle against sin. It's frustrating because it's hard to overcome sin. I feel like I don't have any power over it, or I'm kind of on my own. And what can end up happening is that this season can get reduced kind of like a specialized period of sin management, you know, working on sin management. It reduces Christianity, the view of what the Lord is doing in us, as to moral striving, you might say. We are striving, and we are in a spiritual battle. It's important to know and to understand, but it's important to engage and enter into that spiritual battle with the right perspective. And Lent isn't so much a negative period of time, or meant to be negative, like just simply taking things away, stop doing certain things. But what's clear in the teaching of the church and of Scripture, the whole of the Christian life is a life empowered by the grace of God. St. Paul said we are called to walk by the Spirit. Because we are a new creation, we have a capacity with the help of the Holy Spirit, with the relationship that we have with God the Father now, as children of God, knowing who He is, having received the power to live a new way of life in the presence and power of the Holy Spirit and the life of the church together, we can actually grow. We can make headway. But it's important for us to just know fundamentally what Jesus said in John's Gospel applies perfectly to this question of battling against sin. Without me, you can do nothing. In our battle against sin, God's not standing off at a distance with His arms folded, looking at us and saying, okay, when are you going to get your act together? Roll up your sleeves and get after it. Make it happen in your life. God is deeply engaged with us. He comes in mercy. He comes in compassion. He comes with focus and energy. He comes with great love for us. And He wants to work with us to slowly, daily, develop the habits through the help of the Holy Spirit of subduing the work of the flesh within us. It's not something we can do on our own, or it's not something God expects us to do on our own. He expects us to cooperate. And so this season is meant to be a season, I think, filled with hope. And to be fruitful in the season, we need to begin it with confidence in God, with a deep surrender of our lives in trust to Him. God is good. God is powerful. God is faithful. God is merciful. God is kind. God is gentle. All those things. He's compassionate toward us. So He's in our corner. He wants to fight for us. He wants to help us gain the ground. It's important for us then to be able to entrust it all to Him, to His providence. He's bigger than my sin. He's bigger than my weakness. And He's come to live in me. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. And so I can look at the season as a time not just of trying to overcome something, but it's a deeper pressing into my relationship with God. Because the end of it all, what sin does, sin hinders love. Sin destroys, sin kills, sin cripples. But ultimately what it does, it enslaves us and it hinders us from our capacity to love God, to love our neighbor, and to love ourselves in the right way in God. And so what the Lord wants to do, the Lord who is love itself, wants to come to us and understands that for us to be able to overcome sin, we need something greater in our lives that we love than the sin that we're attached to. And that's God Himself. And this is the work of the Holy Spirit to help stir in us and create in us and mature in us a profound affection for God. And that begins by knowing who we are and how much God loves us. In John's Gospel, chapter 15, Jesus makes clear how he loves us. He said, as the Father has loved me, so I love you. The ground of all reality, brothers and sisters, is the relationship of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They're a communion of persons, a profound mystery none of us can fully explain. But this is the eternal God. The eternal God is a communion, a community of love. At the core of it all is love. God is love, John tells us. And from all eternity, the eternally begotten Son and the Father have been passionately, intensely loving one another. All of creation, everything that's made has flowed from the relationship between the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit together. And Jesus said, as the Father loves him, so Jesus loves us. That's a worthwhile reflection at the beginning of Lent. Maybe a meditation each day this week for you, just to take that line and say, Lord, help me understand. Holy Spirit, help me see and understand the profound love that Jesus has for me. The way the Father loves Jesus, that's the way Jesus loves me. To understand that, to live in it, to be able to receive it, is profoundly empowering. It's the thing that will give us greater and greater mastery over sin. It's the foundation of it, because it gives us confidence, it gives us security, it begins to stir God's love in us, which is very, very powerful. We need to cooperate it by disposing ourselves to it, by creating the right kind of habits in our life, daily prayer, Mass as often as we can go during the week, maybe habit of daily rosary, reading the scripture, bringing our life into the light, not hiding the struggle that we might be in. It's one of the devil's great strategies, of course, is to tempt us to hide in shame. Just like the first reading from Genesis yesterday at Mass, we see the temptation in the garden, and it reads like this. It said, now the serpent was the most cunning of all the animals that the Lord God had made. The serpent asked the woman, did God really tell you not to eat from any of the trees in the garden? The woman answered the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. It is only about the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden that God said, you shall not eat it or even touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, you certainly will not die. No, God knows well that the moment you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like gods who know what is good and what is evil. The woman saw the tree was good for food, pleasing to the eyes and desirable for gaining wisdom. So she took some of its fruit and ate it, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. So you see the foundational, paradigmatic temptation, the seduction of the devil to lead humanity, to lead Adam and Eve at that time, to be confused and to doubt the veracity of God, the truth of God, the goodness of God. So the first thing the devil does in the temptation is, did God really tell you not to eat from any of the trees in the garden? The first thing he wants to do is to cause us to doubt. Did God really say that? Did God really say it's always wrong to commit adultery? Did God say it's always wrong to lie, to cheat, to steal, whatever? To raise doubt in our minds. She then speaks to him and said, no, this is what he said to us. And he's very clear. He said, if we eat it, we will die. And what does he do? He contradicts. He undermines the declaration of what God said. You certainly will not die. The devil's a liar. He's a murderer. One of the things he wants to say to us about sin is that sin isn't that bad. Especially my sin's not that bad. It's not too harmful. It doesn't hurt many people. And we play games with it. And I think one of the things we need to do is not only to see God's mercy, God's presence, God's power in our life, and to entrust the journey toward holiness to him and to abide in him and to trust in him and not rely on our own strength, but lean into him But we also have to resist the devil. We have to make a decision. We're going to set our mind and heart on the Lord, and we're going to resist the devil and his lies and his temptations. We're not going to play games. We're not going to let him flirt with us. And so one of the best things you can do to help that happen, besides some of the things I was describing earlier, is find a trustworthy brother or sister in your life. You can do this with a confessor. You can do it with a really good, trusted friend. And to just have an honest conversation, to come into the light and say, okay, what are the habit patterns of sin that I battle with? And what does it look like? And how do I, if I get tempted, what does that temptation look like? Where's my areas of vulnerability? Where's my Achilles heel? Because the devil will circle. Like it said, when Jesus went into the desert after he was baptized in the Jordan, he went into the desert and he did spiritual warfare against the enemy. He fasted and prayed for 40 days. The devil tried to tempt him. Jesus resisted him. There's great teaching in that whole story about how to resist the temptations of the devil. And it says the devil withdrew and he was circling. He's going to circle and come back at another time. So he always wants to come back and he always wants to find the place of vulnerability, you know, the breach in the wall that we may have, where he can attack and he can seduce us, where we're most weak. So it's important for us to be vigilant and to resist the devil, but at the same time, understanding the foundation of our journey, our penitential journey, is coming fully into the light, not being afraid. Remember, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Jesus already knows you better than you know yourself. But he wants us to humble ourselves. This is a constant theme, even building up to Lent. Some of the readings we were getting was, humble yourself. God loves to raise up the humble. He brings down the proud. And there's a command in the scripture for us to humble ourselves. Well, here's a good way to do it, to find a trustworthy person or a spiritual director, whatever, whoever you want to choose, to say, I would like to just state honestly and truthfully, what are the battlefields in my life? And what is my current struggle against sin? What does it look like? Where am I failing? Where am I most struggling? Where am I discouraged? Where's the places and the moments? What are the kind of things that trigger? Where's the tripwires for me, you might say, in my life? So that you're not carrying it alone, because the devil wants you to carry it alone. He wants you to live in shame and an unhealthy kind of guilt. Guilt's a good thing. The right kind of guilt's a very good thing to lead us to repentance. But it's important for us to, now at the beginning of the season, to express that humility, which allows us to live in wisdom, which is to come out of the darkness or come out of the shadows and come into the light. Come into the love of God. He's merciful. He's kind. He's gentle. He's loving. He's good. And he wants you to see him that way, because that's who he is. These are all expressions, really, you might say, ultimately, of who he is at his core, which is love itself. And he loves you. And his plans for you are good. That's the disposition of his heart. No one's pulling for you more than he is. He loves to reward, Scripture says, those who believe in him and those who entrust their lives to him. So I just want to encourage you at the beginning of this season of Lent to do just that. Put your trust in him. Trust in his goodness, trust in his mercy, and express that trust now by stepping into the light with your whole life so that he can help you walk more fully in that light. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, Mary's Mission, Our Response, in which he describes the extraordinary role Our Lady has in the mission of the Church. Even in our day, in this hour, the Lord is using her with such profound grace and strength. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.